Good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Thrilled to have you with us this evening here at your local liberal hot weather resistance headquarters. We'll resist the libs. There's not much I can do about the hot weather, but except stay inside. And I'm not even doing that. My wife and I did like 3 hours of door knocking yesterday. It was brutal. Sweating. It's terrible. I'm getting sunburnt. I'm white and pasty. It's terrible. But that's okay. That's why they don't pay us. At any rate, we're thrilled to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. We've got a great show for you tonight. Big to-do-y, hooey, Louie, to-do-y this evening. We've got a good show. Some of my favorite folks with us this evening. And one of my favorite people of all time, my buddy. I've gotten to know him over the years. Fox News contributor, former NWA super champion wrestler Tyrus will be with us. He's coming back to Wichita, coming back to Concordia, coming back to Kansas. This will be his fourth trip to the Sunflower State. He will join us to discuss the rise of socialism, what it means to be tough, the definition of masculinity, and of course the return of his Tyrus Live comedy tour to Kansas, and a whole bunch else. We're going to talk a whole bunch of stuff with Tyrus today. Pat Proctor, candidate for Secretary of State, will be with us to respond to this week's decision by a liberal Lawrence judge to temporarily block a recent state law that repealed the 3-day grace period for mail-in ballots. And we'll continue our 2026 candidate profiles with a pair of Republican candidates for State House. Al Jurak, who is running for State House District 100, and Avery Anderson from House District 72. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. So we've got a whole bunch of stuff and take your calls all throughout the show. 16 days. That's all you got left between now and the primary. So listen carefully. I mean, if you haven't looked at the calendar, let me scare you a little bit. Today is the 19th. Primary election is August 4th. That's 16 days. And guess what? Advanced voting, if you weren't aware, it's already begun. The windows are open. The ballots are moving. They're already mailing them out, hopefully legally. And the clock is ticking loud enough to wake the dead. So if you're sitting around your porch sipping sweet tea and thinking you got all the time in the world to figure the ballot out, you don't. Wake up. This isn't just another primary. And, you know, I know there are supposedly still some folks who are undecided. I'm not so sure. I think that undecided numbers, particularly in the governor's race, is not as broad as what some people think it is. But, you know, this isn't just another primary where we pick between candidate A, who promises to fix the roads, and candidate B, who promises to fix the roads faster. There is a bigger issue on the ballot here. And this August 4th, we are voting on a constitutional amendment that asks one of the most fundamental questions you will ever face as a citizen. And that is, do you have the right to vote? And who actually runs the state of Kansas, an entire branch of government in the state of Kansas? Is it you, the guy driving a combine, the woman running the small business on Main Street, the barista down at Starbucks, the taxpayers who fund the entire operation? Or is it a tiny, exclusive country club committee of liberal lawyers who think you're too uneducated, too stupid to be trusted with a ballot? And frankly, let's not mince words. That's exactly what Planned Parenthood, Micah Kubrick, and the folks at the ACLU and all the liberals who are sending mail out right now, that's what they think. They think you're morons. Because right now, the system we have tells you to your face that you're not smart enough to choose the justices who sit on the Supreme Court. They think you're smart enough to pick your president, pick your congressman, pick your senator, pick every other branch of government, but you're not smart enough to pick a Supreme Court justice. And step back, let's look at the history here, because the irony is enough to make your head spin. Once upon a time, everyday Kansans elected our Supreme Court justices. For 100 years we did this. And I know, democracy in action. But back in the 50s, we had a little political soap opera they call the triple play. The governor lost his primary. He threw a temper tantrum, wanted to hold on to power. Gee, where have we heard that before? People want to hold on to power. Oh, you mean like the ACLU and the KNEA and the people pay Planned Parenthood? Oh, we'll get back to that. So he resigned from office. His lieutenant governor took over a hot minute and immediately appointed the same ex-governor to a vacancy on the Supreme Court. It was corrupt. There's no doubt about it. It was a backroom deal. Oh, sort of like what's going on now. It was greasy. It was a governor-appointed scandal. So what did the brilliant political minds of the era do to fix a political appointment scandal? Oh, they created more political appointment scandals. They took the power away from the voters and gave it to an unelected nominating commission that hands finalists to the governor. Oh, brilliant. The kitchen's on fire, so pour gasoline on it. They called it merit elections. Don't get me started on that phrase. It sounds so dignified. We just passed the great poupon. So clean, so completely divorced from dirty, ugly politics. But it's still dirty, ugly, and politics. Remember that old, you know, white speck on bird poop? It's still bird poop line. Well, same thing. But you have to ask yourself, merit according to whom? So let's pull back the curtain on this shadowy little committee. It's a 9-member cabal, the Supreme Court Nominating Commission. Oh, that sounds hoity-toity, don't it? 5 of them are selected by lawyers. 4 are selected by the governor. Notice anyone missing from that list? You, the voters, the people who actually have to live under their rulings. Instead, we have a system dominated by attorneys. And let's be brutally honest here. It's a demographic, the legal elite, the Bar Association crowd. They lean way further to the political left than the average hardworking Kansans, you know, Joe Lunchpail. But they hold the majority vote on who gets to even be considered for our state's highest court. And boy, does it show. This merit system has successfully managed to give Kansas a Supreme Court that perfectly reflects the biases of the legal elite. It also happens to be the frequently most overturned court in the entire country. Truly a stellar track record. Gold stars all around, folks. You want a textbook example of how broken it is? Look at what happens right now. Recently, this glorious nominating commission put forward a Douglas County judge, one of the 3 finalists for Supreme Court. The guy recently blocked the Help Not Harm Act. He actually wrote a ruling that said Kansas Constitution somehow contains a hidden right for parents to force their minor children to undergo life-altering gender transition treatments. This is how extreme these folks are. Yep, that's our guy. Put him on the short list for the highest court in the land. And the punchline gets better. This isn't even the first time the guy tried to move up the ladder. Governor Kelly tried to nominate him to the Court of Appeals twice. The Senate booted him twice. And yet the legislature rejected him twice. So what does the elite lawyer commission do? They bypass the legislature's warnings and try to promote him to the Supreme Court. Talk about failing up. In the private sector, if you bomb your interview and get rejected twice for a mid-level management job, they don't make you CEO. But in the upside-down world of the Kansas judicial branch, it makes you a star candidate. Now, the defenders of this broken system, the ones claiming and clinging to their power like grim death, they will look into the camera with a straight face and tell you, oh, we can't have judicial elections. Elections will politicize the courts. because they think, again, you're too stupid to pick your justices, even though 22 states already use this and 55 Kansas counties already elect their judges. Give me a break. How about the other argument? Voting no will politicize the courts. Folks, politics is already there. The process is dripping in politics now. A recent review of campaign finance reports shows that more than 80% of political donations made by current members of the nominating commission went to Democratic candidates and their causes. And they have the audacity to say the ordinary citizens can't be trusted to select their judges. They tell us that we need insiders and experts and unelected commissioners because they know better than we do. Personally, I think that sounds like a massive load of baloney fed to us by elite insiders who are terrified of losing their monopoly on power. At the end of the day, my friends, this isn't just about one judge. It's not about one crazy ruling. It's not about a power play. It's about a fundamental principle of American liberty. Does power ultimately belong to the people, or does it belong to an unelected cartel of lawyers who will turn around and practice the law before the very court they create? This election on August 4th and the advanced voting happening right now is about your right to vote, period. It's about demanding that the judicial branch answer to the people, not just the executive and the legislative, just like the executive and the legislative branches do. It's about shining a giant blinding spotlight on a process that has been hidden in the shadows for far too long. 16 days, Kansas. Do not let lawyers steal your voice. Get out there, grab your ballot, grab a yard sign, and vote yes on the constitutional amendment. Let's put Kansans over commissions. We'll take a quick break, and then Pat Proctor, candidate for Kansas Secretary of State, will join us to respond to this week's decision by a Lawrence District Court judge that temporarily blocked a state law which repealed the three-day grace period. Oh, by the way, that judge, he was up for the Supreme Court. Approved by that same nominating commission. You see a pattern here? We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Yeah, I don't know how many times I can reinforce this message, but folks, at 16 days, 1% of Kansas's population are attorneys, yet they control the entire Supreme Court selection process. Votersnotlawyers.com. Go find out for yourself. Just get educated on this issue. If you have questions, call me. 316-869-1330. I'll be happy to educate you. A Lawrence District Court judge has temporarily blocked enforcement of Kansas's 2025 law eliminating the state's three-day grace period for counting mail-in ballots, keeping the legal battle over election procedures front and center. Joining us now is State Representative Pat Proctor, who is also a candidate for Kansas Secretary of State, to discuss the ruling, what it means for voters, and where the case goes from here. Pat, thanks for joining us. Pleasure to have you back on the show again, brother.
No, thank you for having me on, John. I really appreciate it.
So, and to think, buddy, this guy was you know, two votes away from being on the Supreme Court, and we would have had no say on the matter. So, you know, I try and remind folks, this, by the way, this is also the same guy that said that boys, you know, parents should be able to take their kids and have them have gender transition surgeries. What's your reaction to this ruling? And, you know, where do we go from here?
Yeah, well, this is this law. I worked on it for 3 years. It puts us in line with another 32 states across the country that make Election Day Election Day. We're not going to be like California. We're not going to keep taking ballots for days after the election. 7 p.m. on election night, you got to have your ballot in, which makes eminent good sense. But I just say, John, this is part of a bigger problem. You know, the Elias Group, Hillary Clinton's Russiagate lawyer, they camp out in Kansas because our courts are so bad. And, you know, the ACLU and the Wildlight and League of Women Voters. They sue us on every election law because our courts are so bad and they know they're going to get a favorable ruling. You know, they just sue. They're going to sue us. They just told us they're going to sue us on the Save Kansas Act that we passed earlier this year. It puts mechanisms in place so we can get dead people off the voter rolls, puts mechanisms in place so we can make sure that non-citizens aren't ending up on our voter rolls. I guess we're afraid that we're going to disenfranchise dead people and non-citizens, so they're going to sue us. And if we don't fix our court, they're going to overturn the law. It's outrageous, and it's because our courts are so bad. I agree with everything you said in that monologue.
What is the defense? What possible is their justification they have for arguing that dead people and non-citizens should stay on our voter rolls?
They'll say, it's going to just be a purge, and we're just going to take everybody.
Well, yeah, we're purging dead people and non-citizens.
Yeah, exactly. I heard the same argument on the floor of the House when I was carrying this bill. You know, the Democrats like, what if they accidentally take somebody off the voter roll who's alive? Well, you know what? If that person shows up at the poll,
then we'll put them back on.
Shows their ID. Yeah. They give them a provisional ballot. They immediately put them right back on. And they said, they actually said this on the floor. Well, how are they going to prove they're alive?
Oh, my God. I mean, these people are so stupid.
You can't make this stuff up. You know, it's anything they can do to subvert and undermine our election system, to make it easier to cheat. And,
exactly.
It's not common. But the reason it's not common is because we have these mechanisms in place, and they're working to chip away at all the common sense measures we've put in place to ensure that our elections are free and fair.
You know, the thing that gets me here that I love to point out, Florida, which has significant, millions more voters than Kansas does, they can conduct their entire elections, get them in, done, counted, and done on election night. And they do it efficiently every year. And you look at California, it took them over 30 days to count a Los Angeles mayor's race. I don't understand. If Florida can do it, why can't every state do it? Why do we have to wait hours to get the results for Kansas House races in Sedgwick County sometimes? It makes no sense to me. If the state of Florida can do their entire election in one night, why the rest of the country can't do it?
You know, they hate it when I call them this, so I call them this all the time. The Axis of Ballot Harvesting, these groups, they're trying to turn Kansas into California. And you look at the things they're attacking, you know, the grace period, right? We're going to keep on taking ballots for days after the election. Signature verification, they're suing, and they may well get that overturned. In California, you can have somebody sign as a witness for you. And then they just send a mail-in ballot to everybody, whether they ask for it or not. You know, and so you've got a system where you're sending all these ballots to dead people and to non-citizens, and then you don't even have to prove that that person touched the ballot. It just gets signed by some witness and gets turned in. That's what they're trying to do with Kansas elections, and they're going to be just as bad as the California elections if we let them win.
We're talking with Pat Proctor, who's a candidate for Kansas Secretary of State. Pat, I know I'm coming up on my bottom of the hour break, but President Trump did a primetime address on election integrity Thursday. He raised some serious issues about some of the vulnerabilities in our nation's election systems. Are you concerned with some of the issues that the president brought up?
Well, you know, a lot of what he raised was about our voter rolls. You know, I held a hearing last year on our voter rolls, and we found out that there are more people 65 years or older on our voter rolls than there are humans 65 years or older in the state of Kansas. And it's not that our clerks are bad people. It's that they can only do the things that we give them the authority to do in law. And, you know, it's not super common, but we have non-citizens on our voter rolls. We just, you know, mayor of Coldwater, Kansas, just pled guilty to voting as a non-citizen for 29 years. So it does happen. I sponsored and passed a constitutional amendment, so it'll actually be illegal in the state of Kansas to vote if you're a non-citizen. That wasn't in our statutes or in our Constitution before. We put a lot of mechanisms in place. So I heard the president loud and clear. I've been working on these issues for a long time, and I think that here in Kansas we're addressing them. But if we don't fix our courts, all of those mechanisms that I fought for the last 4 years as chair of the Elections Committee are going to go away.
You know,
and I just say, I know you're coming up on a hard break, but you know, my Democrat opponent, my probable Democrat opponent, she's backed by a PAC. It's called March on PAC. It's sponsored by George Soros and foreign billionaires and all the same people as the Axis ballot harvesting. They want a Democrat as Secretary of State because when they sue these laws, they sue the Secretary of State. And if they have a Democrat, they won't fight to save the laws. And so this is all part of a coordinated effort. And I think Kansans need to stand up, fix our courts, and then send a Republican to the Secretary of State's office so they can defend these laws.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. Both of my parents have passed, but they were, you know, they voted religiously. And the last couple of years, they did mail-in. And it just makes me wonder. You know, I wonder if my mom and dad are still on a voter roll somewhere. And it's worrisome, to be honest with you. Pat, if folks are interested, if they want to support you, if they want information, or more importantly, if they want to donate, they can do that at PatProctor4KS, and it's the number 4, correct?
That's right. And, you know, I don't have a primary, but we are going to have a tough, general election. This is the Democrats' one chance to get this while it's an open seat, and so I need everybody's help.
Well, Pat, I've endorsed you, and I encourage folks to get out there and support you, and we'll be with you to help you through the general too, my friend.
Thanks, sir. I appreciate your support, and I appreciate the support of the people of Kansas.
Of course, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Coming up, we'll continue the 2026 candidate profiles with Avery Anderson from House District 72. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And make sure you listen to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And as always, our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Every election cycle, we try to bring you as many candidates running for local, state, and federal office as we can, so you have the opportunity to hear from them firsthand. We're going to do two of those tonight for you. We endeavor to invite every candidate onto the ballot as possible to appear on the show. Many accept our invitations. Most of them do. So each week between now and the election, we'll try and bring you a candidate or two. All that being said, joining us now is Avery Anderson. He is a candidate for State Rep District 72. He's the incumbent. Avery is a Kansas State Representative from Newton. He's a fifth-generation Kansan, elected to the House in 2020. He's focused on supporting small businesses, strengthening transportation infrastructure, and combating the fentanyl crisis. Before serving in the legislature, Avery worked for U.S. Senators Pat Roberts and Jerry Moran. After graduating from the University of Kansas, I also graduated from KU. So, you know, we've got that in common. The Wildcat fans out there, you can't hold that against him. Avery, thanks for joining us. A pleasure to have you on the show again, my friend.
Rock chalk, John. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, you know, again, any Wildcat supporters out there will see, you know, they can't hold that against us. So
that's right.
You have a primary opponent in this race. His name is Michael Stavola. First, a bit of disclosure out there. I reached out to Mr. Stavola, and he is a former news reporter from the Wichita Eagle. I went back and forth and back and forth with him for over a month trying to get him to come on the show. He was evasive. He committed, and then he backed out, and he committed and backed out. He finally said that he would do it if I sent him the questions in advance, and he would then respond in writing, which I just don't do that. This is a radio. We do live interviews here. So he refused to answer questions on the air, and so he's not agreed to come on the show. So I just wanted to let you know that you're getting the show by yourself because he's refused to come on. There have been some. This is a rather brutal primary with him. He's been going around. I've got some calls from some of your constituents that he has brought up some rather slanderous accusations about you, so far as accusing you of rape and a few other things. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to some of those baseless accusations.
Yeah, John, he's my opponent's gone to the doors. Honestly, he's running the same defamatory campaign that Vic Miller 2 years ago came out with 14 days before the general election. And he just took the Democrat talking points and regurgitating them 2 years later. It didn't work then. And I think voters are smart enough. I mean, the type of things he's saying at the doors, if even half were true, I'd be on the cover of every newspaper and probably be in jail. So luckily, I think voters are smart enough to realize. But he's going around saying these type of things. Seems like he's trying to cover up. He's going around saying, I have a record. He's been arrested twice for public intoxication. And so I think he's trying to get voters to look the other way.
Yeah, I'm fully expecting him next to say that you were involved in the Kennedy assassination and that you know where Jimmy Hoffa's buried. So, I mean, literally, the guy's throwing, you know, everything against the wall and seeing what will stick. And typically, when I've been at this almost 10 years now, and when candidates refuse to answer questions on the air, there's usually a reason behind it. When they run as Republicans, but when you go to their website, by the way, you can go to his website. There's not an issue on his website. And when Republicans run for office, but they refuse to state their positions on issues, those folks are Republicans in name only. They're lying, they're obfuscating, and they're misleading voters. And I plan to call him out for that. He is a liar. He's not a Republican. He is truly a dangerous candidate, because that's what he's doing, is he's lying and misleading your constituents. And if he'd had the courage and the integrity to come on and answer questions, I would give him the platform, but he doesn't. And I appreciate you taking the time to do that. And let's get to it. You and your fellow colleagues in the House pushed last year for aggressive spending rollbacks. I know that you were able to roll back about $200 million in spending cuts, but you know, the state is still facing budget shortfalls. How would you propose, if you go back, you're still looking at a budget cut next year. You're facing more budget issues. What's your solution for that going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. So I sit on the Appropriations Committee, and like you mentioned, this last year, we were able to cut $200 million. That's a step in the right direction. We need to keep going further. And I think we're going to keep doing that. I know the goal is around another $200 million this upcoming year. The Supreme Court, we're starting to write our new education budget formula, and so kind of getting the handcuffs off for a second until it goes right back to the courts. I'm sure we'll get sued the second that it comes out. But that's another reason why this constitutional amendment is so important, and we can talk about that later. But, you can find a lot of money in education that can draw back. 52% of every dollar goes to K-12 education, another dime to higher ed. Throwing money at it is not the problem. We've got to find a way to get those dollars into the classroom.
And that seems to be the key. And I, you know, most of the legislators that I've talked to, it's not a matter of necessarily the funding is not too much funding. It's that the funding's not being spent the right way.
Right. You look at states around us and across the country, states give far less per student to public education, and they get far greater results. So clearly something's going wrong in Kansas public education.
We're talking with Avery Anderson, a candidate for House District 72. While both parties in both chambers of the legislature agree that property taxes need to come down, the House and the Senate have been divided on the mechanics of how to accomplish that. What's your solution to address high property taxes, Avery?
Yeah, so every single tax cut bill that has come across the House floor in my 6 years, I voted yes on. I've never voted no on a tax cut bill, and I'm proud of that. A lot of that, we get pointed fingers at us quite a bit. I think a lot of it is valuations back home and local governments. If they come around and value your home at 10-12% higher, and if that's across the county, they need to lower the mills by 10-12%. A lot of these local governments are just accepting that as a backdoor tax that they don't have to vote on, and kind of pat themselves on the back and say, well, we didn't raise your mills this year. Well, you're taking more money in from the taxpayer because of that. And so we've got to get more to a revenue neutral instead of just not raising the mills and saying we're not taking more of your tax dollars.
Yeah, exactly. The city of Wichita is poised to do that right now. And if you exceed the revenue neutral, it's a tax increase, no matter how you want to spin it. And you just didn't have Absolutely. To vote for it. And I completely agree with you. We're talking with Avery Anderson from House District 72. We'll take a quick break. We're up against my middle of the hour break, and then we'll come back and love to talk to you about the constitutional amendment and some of the basic party platform issues like life and the Second Amendment. All right.
All right.
We'll take a quick break. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They've got another day of action coming up this Saturday. If you're looking for a way to make your voice heard, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Sign up. It's a great way to get out there and help educate voters. You can come join my wife and I. We'll be out door knocking. You can make phone calls. We did a phone call night Thursday night, and it was easy, simple. Download the app on your phone, make calls. I did like 100 phone calls in an hour. It was simple. It's a nice way to help volunteer, donate, you know, get your voice out there and help educate voters. Again, 16 days to the primary. AmericansForProsperity.org. Sign up and help educate voters. We're going to continue our candidate profile with Avery Anderson. He's a candidate for Kansas State Representative for District 72. Avery, let's cover a few basic party platform issues. Let's start with the right to life. I know you're endorsed by Kansans for Life, correct?
That's right. Yep. I've got a 100% voting record on life in my 6 years, and I'm blessed to be endorsed by Kansas for Life.
Similarly, I saw that you got the endorsement from the Kansas State Rifle Association and the National Rifle Association. And, you know, similarly, again, this is another one. I went to your opponent, Stavola's website. No information on life, no information on Second Amendment issues. And again, when you have an opponent that won't comment on these issues, pretending to be a Republican, but those are basic party platform issues, core Republican value issues, and he's hiding on those issues.
Yeah, you know, he wants to represent 23,000 people, and he won't tell anybody where he stands. Kansas for Life asked him the most basic question, where do you stand on life? He refused to answer. The NRA asked him the most basic Second Amendment question, do law-abiding Americans have the right to bear arms? He refused to answer. It blows me away that you're running in a Republican primary and you will not talk to the two largest groups in a Republican primary.
Well, and it was the same thing, you know, because I tried to get him to come on and answer questions on things like women and girls sports or the constitutional amendment that's on their ballot on August 4th. And that's a very important issue, an entire third branch of government. And he wouldn't come on and answer those questions. And these are basic issues that are core fundamental issues. And he won't. School choice was another great one. Now, maybe it's because his wife works for the district. But still, I mean, these are core issues. School choice, women and girls sports, you know, transgender, whether or not, you know, kids should be making life-altering biological decisions, and he's not answering any questions.
He's running the Joe Biden campaign, hiding in the basement, other than at the doorsteps. So.
Well, and of course, when he's at the doorsteps, he's making up stuff about you. But
exactly.
I know that a couple of years ago, my buddy Blake Carpenter and the House was able to pass a medical marijuana bill. The Senate has refused to take that up. It is becoming an issue, particularly in the governor's race. It's come up quite a bit because the Democrats are all pushing full legalization on marijuana. What are your thoughts on marijuana, either recreational or medical?
Sure. So absolutely oppose recreational. I voted yes on the bill. I believe it was 2022, and it was a very tight bill. No smoking. And that was one of the toughest votes that I took. I've never been a fan of even medical marijuana. I've seen what it's done to other states when it some states let it become the wild, wild west. And I don't want that to happen to Kansas. But when you start looking at veterans and some like stage four cancer patients, I ultimately decided to vote yes on a very, very, I would say, conservative medical marijuana bill. And for me to vote yes again, it would have to be a tight conservative bill again.
Yeah. And I, from what I've heard, any, you know, subsequent conversations, that's been the direction that they've gone is, you know, controlled, dispensed through a pharmacy, had to be prescribed by a doctor, something along those lines. But then, of course, you know, the Democrat, the two leading gubernatorial candidates have both gone for full recreational. So go figure.
Yeah, right. Check it out.
I'm curious what your thoughts are. Now, granted, the governor has denied the clemency request, but she, you know, had a number of requests for clemency on her desk. So death penalty has become an issue again. What are your thoughts on the death penalty?
Yeah, once again, another very tough issue. But I at the end of the day, I do support the death penalty for very, very heinous acts. And two people on death row today, the Carr brothers, in my opinion, should not be breathing today. So for that reason, I support the death penalty.
You know, Avery, this is it's been a very contentious primary. I know that a lot has been said. And like I said, I've had a number of your constituents who've actually called me and were concerned because of all the nastiness. And so I typically in these primaries, the last question in these interviews I ask is, would you support the Republican nominee up and down the ballot, regardless of whether, you know, but in this case, it's tough because your opponent has, I don't know if he's a Republican, to be honest with you.
He's not a Republican, at all. But I would never, oppose a Republican. As you know, I chaired the Republican House Campaign Committee for the last cycle and put a ton of time and effort into growing our supermajority, and we were successful in that. And I would never want us to move backwards. So I will always hope and support that the Republican will win. But if he were to win the primary, we'd have two Democrats on the general ballot.
Yeah, and we've seen that before. And I think what we just have to do in this case is hope that the right Republican, in this case, you, wins this primary so that we don't have. And I, you know, again, I will continue to extend the invitation to Mr. Stavola if he wants to come on. I'm not going to email him questions. The funny part is he knows the questions. He can listen to any of these interviews. I ask the same questions of every candidate. It's not like he's going to get any surprise questions. The guy's just a coward and didn't want to have to answer questions. But Avery, if folks have questions, if they want to, if they want to volunteer, if they want a yard sign, if they want to ask you, I mean, you've been very forthright. If they have questions about some of these baseless accusations, they can reach you at andersonforkansas.net, correct?
That's right, or my Facebook page.
Avery, we appreciate you. Again, I wish you the best of luck, brother, and just keep working. I know you didn't come to the studio tonight because you were out door knocking tonight, and I wish you the best of luck, and just keep pushing, working hard, brother.
Thanks for the support, John. Appreciate it.
We'll take a quick break, and then after the top of the hour break, Fox News contributor Tyrus, my buddy Tyrus, will be with us. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We're always here for you. Let's try and keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to the number 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. My next guest is a Fox News contributor, best-selling author, host of Maintaining with Tyrus, former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, and now he's bringing the Planet Tyrus Comedy Tour back to Kansas with stops in Concordia on August 14th and Augusta on the 15th. My buddy Tyrus joins us now. Tyrus, hello, my friend. It's nice to have you back in, with us, and be great to have you back in Kansas.
Yeah, I'm excited to be back. It's always, like I said, I always have a blast whenever I get to go to the Midwest. It's way more refreshing than working out in New York, I'll tell you that much.
I can imagine. And in fact, working out of New York, that leads right into one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, I just don't understand what's going on in New York. I mean, you've had, the three socialists there, and then right after that, yeah, we had another socialist win in office, and of course, everything now, you get, even in Colorado, stay right next to us, we've got socialists. They're cropping up like weeds. What is going on with the rise of Democrat socialism? Apparently, that's the answer to everything, according to the left.
Well, I think the reason is not that anything they're doing. It's what moderates and Republicans aren't doing. They're winning races where no one is really running against them of any merit. Mondami won New York because there was no one running against him, you know, and now seeing all the problems that his policies are causing in a relatively short amount of time. Now, I think it was like Mike Rappaport is going to run against him, but he didn't run against anyone. There was the guy with the red beret and Cuomo who, whether it was the stuff with people's grandparents or the accusations about touching and stuff, he's a disgraced governor. He had to resign. So, I mean, there's not a lot. And they see these other people who are making all these promises. And also by design, I think a lot of them auditioned for the part. So it's not even to say they don't run any policies. I think that's a lot of the times when they sit down for interviews that aren't scripted or controlled. It's just word salads and ridiculous things and a lot of horrible content, but there's just no pushback. So I think it's a little bit of that. And probably once they get in, then they see the ramifications and the voter wakes up. But right now, I think a lot of times people are voting virtue signaling, or they're showing up to vote. And on the conservative side, they're just not showing up to vote because they just don't have a worthwhile candidate.
Yeah, well, and it's easy when you're giving away a lot of easy stuff, and it sounds great on paper,
yeah,
but eventually...
Free money, free rent, you know, all these things, and they don't realize that the consequences for free anything is it's never free. You're just either destroying your supply, you're destroying mom and pop businesses, you're forcing corporations to like, hey, we're just going to up and leave. You know, how you could elect someone like AOC who basically ruined life-changing jobs with Amazon in their community. But they also think of it, they blame everything on the president. So when they vote, they don't really think that their decisions they're voting for necessarily affect them. But you should be more focused on voting in your area and your district than worrying about what's happening on the grand stage, because it's the people that you send to fight for you, if they can't even have a conversation with you, that to me is a big red flag.
You know, speaking of red flags, Tyrus, I gotta ask about the decisions that some of these people are making. In again, it comes down to selecting candidates. You know, these recent allegations against Graham Plattner, extremely serious. But it seems like a lot of people on the left were willing to overlook. I mean, you know, now you've got a lot of the Dems are bailing off of him. But, you know, they were willing to overlook initial rape allegations, sexual assault allegations, Nazi tattoos. But now all of a sudden it's a red line. you know, if this had been a Republican, we never would have got anywhere near the guy.
No, well, then he never would have ran in the first place. But
right.
The thing is, it's that Biden playbook. They know he's flawed. They know he has issues, but they need the seat, or they need the presidency. He gets all this momentum and he gets all these votes. And they knew everything about him beforehand.
No, right.
You can't I refuse to believe anything less than that. They were just thinking we get the seat and we replace him. Same kind of thing they did with Joe. And, and America didn't fall for it. They tried it with Kamala. That's why they didn't have her run against anyone, because her debate performances are, to quote Charles Barkley, terrible. and it's the same thing where Plattner was getting all this momentum in Maine, which for the life of me, I don't get it. But then they thought they had a good shot of winning. So it's not there. And I think if you are willing to go to bat for someone, you don't get to say, oh, I changed my mind. This isn't like you were just introducing someone to friends and then turns out he's a bad person. You were deliberately misleading, lying to your constituents, to the American people, so you could get a seat. And I think that everyone who pulled out immediately, those people should seriously be looked at in terms of, why would I vote for someone who was so dishonest to me that they were literally just saying alleged, and all these things are alleged, and I think the timing of it's a little suspicious too.
Yeah.
And I hope that, and I hope if he did those things, the statute of limitations is not ran out. And I think the message is to people, if you are assaulted, if you are put in those situations, you need to report it immediately. If that woman would have went to the police immediately, we never would have had to deal with a Plattner, and he probably wouldn't hurt other people. So if those things are true. So I think the message also needs to be, this has never been a better, safer time in our country, for sure, to report bad behavior, because you have social media, you have the full support. Everyone deserves to be heard, and 9 times out of 10, typically they're believed right away until they're not believed. And usually it's on the burden of the person being accused to prove themselves. So I think that if you're out there and you've been in a situation like that, you should 1,000% call the police. So you don't have to be in a situation where everyone's now raising an eyebrow, you know.
Tyrus, the last time you were in Wichita, by the way, we're talking with Fox News contributor and author and just all around great guy, Tyrus. The last time you were in town, you and I had a chance to talk. You talked about, you've got a close relationship with the president, so much so you shared a story about texting and some odd times of some of your texts. I wonder if you'd share that with our listeners.
Yeah, he's not afraid to text at whenever he feels it. I'll just put it that way. The craziest one was when he texted at me. I think it was like at 2:30 in the morning, and it was at the time when California's other reservoirs were drained, and the president was trying to help them with the fires, and they were refusing his help, and he basically was just saying, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, sleeping. What are you doing? And he's like, I'm being the president. He's like, hey, I'm sending you these pictures. Post them for me tomorrow. I just filled up the reservoirs in California tonight while new scum, as he likes to say, was asleep. And he sent me all these pictures, and I posted it, and I was laughing. I couldn't believe it. And I grew up in California, so I was like, you filled up all of them? And he's like, yeah, the hell with that little fish. And it was a different word. And the only negative part of that was that my wife was burning a hole through me, because she was like, who the hell is texting you at 2:30 in the morning? And I looked at her with a confident grin and said, the president. And she looked at me like I was crazy, and I had to show her. And then unfortunately she pulled the wife card and said, tell him it's late and you'll talk to him tomorrow. And I did not want to do that, but I texted him back and said, hey, Mr. President, apparently it's a school night. And my wife says I got to talk to you tomorrow. And he texts back, okay. And then about 3 seconds later, he texts back again, and it was hashtag something whipped. LOL.
I
got some new ones. I got some phone calls. He reminds me a lot of Theodore Roosevelt. And Roosevelt was a progressive in the real terms of it, you know, in terms of what he did. But the one thing that they share alignment in is that they both will speak to anyone. And if you have a good idea, or if they think you have something of merit, they don't care what your status is, they will sit down and talk to you. So that means whether you are a king from England or a smart mouth wrestler or, you know, a janitor, and you have something to say, both presidents would legitimately sit down and talk with you. And if you had a good idea, they would use it. So I think that's what makes him so special. And I think also, I think that's where a lot of the hatred comes from, because it's hard to control things when everyone has a voice at the table.
We're talking with my buddy Tyrus from Fox News, who's bringing his upcoming Tyrus Live comedy tour to Augusta next month. Tyrus, since you brought up Teddy Roosevelt, I want to follow up on that. I watched a recent episode of your podcast where you actually talked about Teddy Roosevelt getting shot and then finishing his speech. And
finished the damn speech.
Yes. And you talked about how toughness and, you know, today we celebrate people for surviving mean tweets or not being able to, you know, getting offended by a mean tweet. Have we completely changed the definition of what it means to be tough in America?
No, I think we haven't changed the definition. It's just that, unfortunately, with camera phones and social media, the voices that normally no one would hear or pay attention to have become a weird form of entertainment. When you hear someone say to you, because you question them and their answers, I don't feel safe with your questioning.
Yes.
They've ruined it. Because normally those people no one would pay attention to. Now they get on social media and they virtue signal and they're all victims, because victimhood gets you attention. You know, if you put your head down and act sad, most people seeing you will be like, hey, are you okay? And it's just become an addiction to where people act like everything offends them and they're hurt and they want everyone to rally around them. And it's a very narcissistic way of being, but it's also become what people see. He literally wrote a speech so long that when he folded it up, put it in his pocket, shirt pocket, when they shot him, it was the speech that saved his life. And it still broke the skin. And then he just basically opened it up and said, where, what, and continued with his speech. So that's a whole other level of badassery. But, you know, our society has, you know, America is such a great place. And it's the one place where opportunity is around every corner. You can make a living on anything from, fortunately or fortunately, showing your feet, to, you know, being a rocket surgeon. You know, that's the American possibilities of capitalism. But the downside is that you also can criticize, complain nonstop, because freedom of speech is protected here. You know, you can say off the wall things, untrue things, and with little or no consequences. So unfortunately, social media and the companies that designed it, they're more interested in making a buck off weird behaviors than having simple rules like you have to have a valid ID to have an account. Because if we had, if you just think about that for one second, if everyone on social media had to have an ID and it was 18 years old and everything you did on there could be, everything you said on there could be traced back to you, I think behaviors would be a lot different. I also think sex trafficking would take a huge hit.
Yeah.
Child pornography would be pretty much non-existent on the social media platforms. Predators would have to find another way. So unfortunately, they care more about subscriptions and bots and people getting 8, 9, 10 accounts to be different people. That is more profitable. And that's sometimes the darker side of capitalism, is that, you know, they put profits before people. But yeah. I hopefully think at some point America's happy. I think we're in the middle of it right now. The one great thing about this country, and I say it a lot, is America's the one nation in history that can reset And we're seeing a great reset. We're seeing young people are more interested in trade schools and honest day's work, serving in the military, rejecting a lot of these ridiculous woke ideologies, you know, standing up to ridiculous, trying to act like racism is the biggest problem this country. It's not. It's just what they've used to fundraise and make money at the expense of people, and not holding groups that are racist accountable because they have a darker pigment than a white American, which is absolutely ridiculous. So there's a lot of things out there on social media and what people have used to make money at the expense of mankind, and then they cry that they're the victims. And I think that's probably the ironic and funniest part about it is you're allowed to complain, say you hate this country every day on TV shows and formats, and then when someone calls you out on it, they're the bad guy.
Do you buy into some of the polling that shows that partisan divide about people who, you know, love and hate the country? I mean, you know, 93% of Republicans that love it and 27% of Democrats that do?
Well, here's the thing. They had that same poll when Obama was in, and Democrats were, I think, 72%. Republicans were 92%. So regardless of who's in office, the conservatives love this country.
Right.
Republicans love this country. They're patriotic. And if it doesn't go their way, they're fine with it because they know in this country they'll have another opportunity in 4 years or 2 years to get some things done. I think the Democratic Party has become the narcissist party where they're only interested, you know, it's like having a narcissistic wife or boyfriend or husband to where they only care about you when you're in service to them, when it's about them, when you're doing for them, then they care about you. When you're not and they have to accept the fact that it's not going to be their way and it's somebody else's turn or a group of people have spoken and disagreed with you on policies, then they hate the whole place and it should be burned down. And I think that's the biggest telling with the differences between the two parties, regardless of who's in office. And your patriotism shouldn't be based on if your guy got in or not. That's not patriotism. Selectism and that's socialism. So it's not surprising.
You're coming back, as I mentioned, you're coming back to Kansas, bringing the Planet Tyrus comedy tour to Kansas, and it being Concordia on the 14th and Augusta on the 15th. For folks who've only seen you on Fox or heard your podcasts, what can they expect from a live Tyrus comedy show?
It will be off the rails.
That's true.
It goes the one way.
It does.
I never really have a plan. I mean, I got a few ideas of what I want to talk about, but someone yells something out of the crowd and we just go there. I will say that, and I guess it's okay to be a little braggadocious, but there won't be a dry eye in the house. We laugh.
We do.
And make fun of ourselves, which is the greatest thing. And tell some good stories. And then there's moments where, you know, I talk about life and some of the realities and lessons. And I think try to send a positive message. And it's a lot of fun and it's a chance just to get away. It's not overly political at all. I don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, independent, just come have a good time. I'll make jokes about everyone, even the big guy. And like I said, I got some interesting, I've graduated to phone calls. I'll just leave it at that. But just so you know, whether you're a president, I'll just say this, whether you're a president or you worked at GE for, you know, 50 years or whatever, all old people talk the same on the phones when they don't quite understand the technology. I'll just leave it at that. You'll have to stay tuned and be there.
Well, again, you're coming to Augusta and Concordia. Concordia on the 14th, Augusta on the 15th. You've given us some VIP meet and greet tickets. We will be giving them away, so stay tuned for that. We'll be giving them away here on the show. And if, for those who are interested, they can find more tickets and information. You're on X at Planet Tyrus, correct?
Yes, yes. And Instagram is Tyrus Smash. Those are both blue checks and True Social. is Tyra Smash as well, all verified. I have no other social media than those. That is it. And, you know, there's no AI. I don't need money to help me get away from my wife. I'm not looking for a relationship, and my checks are late. I'm on national TV, ladies and gentlemen. The bills are paid. I'm good.
Well, brother, we appreciate you joining us. And do me a favor, please give my best to your lovely wife, Ingrid, if you would, please.
I sure will.
Thank you, my friend. We'll see you in August.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, we're going to be giving away a couple of VIP tickets to his comedy show coming up in August. So keep listening to that. Coming up, we'll take a couple of your calls and then some more to come. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Folks, 1% of Kansas's population are attorneys, yet they control the entire Supreme Court. Let's do something about that. Make sure you vote and vote yes on August 4th. If you want more information, you can visit votersnotlawyers.com and find out more. And of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. Those are the best ways to stay informed and get all the latest updates on the show. During a break, we got a message from Terry through the Facebook show, through the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. Also, don't forget to download the Odyssey app. You can leave a message there, hit the little microphone icon, and you can record up to a 60-second message. And if it's if it's good enough and it's clean, won't play it on the air. But Terry wanted to know about Mike Fessinger. He's one of the candidates for judge. Mike is a great candidate, by the way. He is a conservative. He's a solid Republican candidate. So, Terry, yeah, I think Mike Fessinger is a great candidate, solid conservative, and he's been endorsed by Kansans for Life, number of other good. I know, for example, Sedgwick County Commission chair, not chairman, but Sedgwick County Commissioner Jim Howell is one of the candidates who's one of the elected Republicans who's endorsed him. So rest assured that the soon to be, hopefully, Fessinger would be a excellent person that you could vote for judge. So I would be confident in voting for Fessinger for district court judge. So don't worry about that. We'll take a quick break, and then coming back, we'll continue our candidate profiles with Al Jurak, who is a candidate for Kansas House District 100. That's Dan Hawkins's current seat. Dan's leaving, by the way. He's going to be our next insurance commissioner. Thank goodness we're getting rid of Vicky Schmidt. Boy, that's an upgrade. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up to the minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS, or by listening to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps if you happen to be away from your radio. And of course, make sure you like and follow us on the Facebook or Instagram, wherever you you like or follow us on social media. And of course, follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. We'll continue our candidate profiles. Joining us now is Al Jurak. He is candidate for Kansas Representatives District 100. That's a former speaker. I guess he's still current speaker. Otherwise, my buddy, he's going to be the next insurance commissioner, Dan Hawkins' seat. Al is an entrepreneur, Kansas State computer engineering graduate, so we won't hold that against him for, graduating from K-State. Lifelong Kansan, he's a 20-year track record of business growth and community service, and he says he brings a unique blend of technical expertise, stability, and a deep commitment to the families of District 100. He's lived in the district for, goodness, 30, 40 years, something like that, right, Al? I know I talked to you during a break. You lived in that district for decades, right?
45 years old, so it'd be a little bit tough. And grew up on the farm, so
I know you've lived in the district for quite some time.
About 7 years now.
That's what I thought.
But we've been in Sedgwick County for about.
That's what I thought. I know you've lived there, and I know you've been involved in the diocese for a long time as well. Correct.
For sure. Lifelong Catholic. I grew up cradle Catholic up there in Marion County, and then obviously back down here.
So you've got a lot of background. Why would you even think about? I mean, trust me, this is not. It can't be for the pay. I mean, why decide to run for House?
Yeah, honestly, just going through this whole process has been very educational. I would say.
Oh, I'm sure that's a nice that's a nice way of saying
I'm trying to be nice.
You're trying to be diplomatic.
Anybody that puts their name on a ballot, I no matter what side you're fighting for, I have a little more respect for you. I would say that it is a interesting and
interesting is process. Another nice way of putting it. Yes,
you're helping me out. Well, so, why?
The I've been there, so I know what the family goes through. I know about the nasty emails and the nasty phone calls, and you've got the suntan to prove that you've been door knocking.
That's so, right. Talked a lot of people at 100,
but which has been why? Fantastic. I mean.
So, I have a lot riding on Kansas. So my wife and I, we have a bunch of children, and we love it here in the state. It's been great. Been
wonderful. Wait a minute, Phil. He's Catholic and he's got a bunch of children. No,
there's a whole bunch of them. So I want to have grandkids here one day. I want to have my children to live here. We need opportunity. They need jobs. They need affordable housing. So certainly I need Kansas to step up and be a place where they want to be so we can have those people that we love continue to be around us. I come from an engineering background. I have spent my life trying to make the world around me better. Like I love problem solving, whether that be for companies I've worked for. Like I spent about 5 years working for Cargill early on here downtown, starting my own businesses. My family, ministries I work with, the churches I've attended or were out there in Sacred Heart and Colwich. I love in any of those disciplines, I love to make that world around me better. Like, how can I make it faster, better, provide more value?
So you're looking to make things better.
Certainly.
State's facing a budget shortfall. What's your make it better solution for that?
Well, I'm kind of a Ronald Reagan kind of guy. Instead of like taking a bigger slice of the pie to make a bigger pie. I mean, I think it starts with a long-term solution of growing Kansas businesses, growing, being a business-friendly state to where businesses can start and they can grow just like mine has for the last 20 years and provide others with that same opportunity. So we've got to get that right. We're losing people out of the state. I think the latest numbers I saw, we were about even, but to have more Kansans to widen out the tax base. I talk to a lot of people. I do company I own. I do a little bit of traveling, doing trainings around, and I talk to a lot of people from a lot of different interesting places. And they have mountains and they have oceans and whatever else, all kinds of fun things in their state. We don't have that. But you know what? We got like the best people. Like we have awesome people here. I love people that are in Kansas are here because they love the communities that they're in. They love being here and being around family. How do we tell that story? How do we bring additional people to Kansas? I'm seeing that more and more. There was a gentleman, we were celebrating the 20-year anniversary of our company. We went to, I think it's called Shoot Suite, and I was talking to the business owner there about their story, where did they come from or whatever. But, his family, they were from, I think, Tucson, and they were coming back and like starting their family and kind of figuring, well, we're going to get out of all of that, and we're going to come to somewhere where it's a little bit more reasonable and the people are good. So they chose to come here to Kansas. And I'm like, I'm excited to hear more and more stories like that. I feel like I'm seeing Kansas, and we want to make this an attractive state to be in. So that's a really long answer of like, we need to grow businesses. We need to grow Kansas, make it a place where we're importing in people, not exporting those out to other states. And then also we're going to have to make some tough decisions here in the short term. Just like any family or any business, we got to balance the checkbook, right? Certainly you can go out and make more money, but the other part is you got to cut back and you got to, not try to spend money on things you can't afford. So, certainly there's going to be some decision making that'll have to happen.
you're on the ballot on the 4th. The other one of the other issues on the ballot on the 4th is the constitutional amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Big issue. You grabbed a couple of yard signs here while you were here earlier. I'm assuming you support the constitutional amendment on the ballot on the 4th.
Absolutely. I mean, as much as I want the people of 100 to vote for Al, and I'd love that. The bigger issue of the day is really that amendment. I hate the fact that basically an entire branch of government is handcuffed by a very small elite select group of lawyers that make those decisions for us instead of us getting to vote. This seems like a very straightforward amendment. I would love I work towards that end. I've been talking to I spent a good amount of time talking to some of the advanced ballot voters, and I helped them kind of like talk through some of the different issues and whatever else, and they had questions about that. So there was certainly confusion about what does this mean. And I think once I explained, hey, this is about just giving you the power to make the choice of who the judges are. And we already do that in Sedgwick County for our own
right.
District judges. So yeah. This makes a lot of sense, I think, to people certainly that I talk to and that I visited with. But so important that we vote. We vote yes, and we put the power back in the hands of the people as opposed to some small group of lawyers that make that decision.
We'll take a quick break. Do you mind sticking around through the break?
Sure.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Al Yurok. He's a candidate for State House in District 100. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Less than 1% of the population of Kansas are lawyers, yet they control the entire Kansas Supreme Court. Let's fix that, folks. Visit votersnotlawyers.com and find out more about this upcoming August 4th constitutional amendment. And, of course, make sure you vote yes. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. We'll continue our candidate profile now. Al Yurok, he is a candidate for District 100. Al, let's cover a few basic party platform issues. I know you were endorsed by Kansans for Life, correct?
For sure, for sure. 100%, pro-life, from womb to tomb. Very, very important issue to me. It's a little wild, right? I've used that guide, the pro-life guide.
The voter guide?
That's been coming out here and being distributed. And to see
your
name on there it's a little
there,
surreal.
It's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, and it tells you about the importance of this and the gravity of this in a particular office. And humbled it just is a little surreal to see that. But absolutely.
100% I remember that experience because I received their endorsement as well. And it was kind of fun the first time I got the voter guide and my name was on it. I was
right?
Like, yeah, that's kind of cool.
I've used
cool.
it for years to help guide my decisions.
Yeah, that is kind of sure. cool. I hadn't seen if KSRA, did they also, the NRA, KSRA?
I got like an AQ rating from the NRA.
That's pretty, so the way that works for folks who don't understand – if you have not got a voting record, like, for example, I had the A-plus rating. Mm. Well, so for, and there's even ratings like even if you have a voting record, the best you can get is an A.
Oh.
Unless you've actually passed legislation that has been signed into law.
Mm.
Then you can get an A-plus. So my last year in the legislature, I got an A-plus. And by the way, I still have my A-plus.
Oh, do they give it like a grade card? Like you get to hang it up on your wall?
Yes, you get it. You get it. You hang it up on the wall. And you retain your rating until, yes. So I still have an A-plus with the NRA. But the best a candidate can get is an AQ, which means A, questionnaire, which means you filled out the questionnaire and they gave you an AQ.
Yes, very much a defender of the Second Amendment for sure. It helps to protect all the other amendments, right? I mean, very important issue. I grew up as a farm kid in rural Kansas, hunted not very successfully, mostly pheasants out there. But I tell people, you know, I've got a lot of kids, John, but the only thing I have more than kids is guns.
So. How about school choice? What are your thoughts on school choice?
Love that. So we've made a lot of choices and in our family. We've homeschooled. We've gone to public virtual school. We've gone to a co-op. I myself am a public school kid, so I know how important it is to fund those schools. But I love the fact of – I love to provide more ability for parents to make choices. They're going to make good choice. They're going to make the right choices for their children. And the more that we give those options, I think they're going to make good decisions with those. So creating transparency, creating ability for more people to have a choice. Because we have school choice right now, but it's only for people who can afford to or are in the situations where they can. I want to provide more of that. And I think we're going to have better outcomes. You know, we've been falling behind in different behind other states and things like that, but we've continued to pour money into the equation.
What are your thoughts on legalizing marijuana, recreational or medical?
Not for me. I think we should. I think that's not for Kansas.
Passy on the wacky tobacky. In
all gotcha. Yep.
Al, if folks have questions, if they want to donate, if they want. By the way, let me ask real quick. If you're not the winner, I'm assuming you'll support your opponent in the general.
Yep, absolutely. I put a yard sign in my yard.
And he said the same thing, by the way.
Good, so there you go.
pardon me. If folks have questions, if they want more information, if they want to volunteer or donate, they can visit al4ks.com, and that's FOR, correct?
You know, I'm an IT guy, so it's like it's the number four, it's FOR, whatever you want. I think I even have AI FOR. The number of times I get mistaken for AI instead of Al.
It is ALFOR.
All of them work.
KS, and it's KS, not Kansas.
That's right. It's the shortest one you can get.
FOR. It is really short. ALFORKS.com, right?
You got it. That's exactly right.
Al, we wish you the best of luck. And you've only got, 15 days now, 16 days.
That's right. Make a lot of phone calls.
Keep up the work. Have you got a Democrat? Is there a Democrat in the?
There is.
Okay. Yep. So then you move on to the general if you do, and we'll be there to help you, my friend. So good luck. Wish you the best of luck, my friend. All right, folks, that's it for tonight. Make sure you tune in tomorrow morning for Woodward and Witt. We'll be starting the contest to give away those tickets for those two VIP tickets to Tyrus. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.